Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I want to welcome everybody here, including our visitors from Mississippi, the Dillards. Had a nice visit with the Dillards. They're passing through here, but if you get a chance, welcome them after the service. Some of us are wearing South Bend Silverhawks hats, and you might wonder why, but a group of us went to the game sat Friday night and had a great time, and so we're just hoping to get another outing together yet this summer. And I thought it was a great success. And so, okay, on to the other announcements. We have tickets available today for the Pulled Pork Fundraiser to be held Friday, July 25th at the Lodge Coffee House on East Jefferson Street. And is it 11? I think it's 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. The cost is $8, and the church gets $3 out of every $8 that's put in. And it's really good pulled pork. Plus, the deacons need other helpers to sell tickets for that to make it a success. Today and on July 13th. There'll be a noisy offering collected to help offset the cost of a new water heater we had to have installed a couple weeks ago here in the church. It was $1,300 and it was not expected. And so we're just trying to collect some money to offset the cost of that new water heater. Scholarship applications are due today. The forms are outside the office, but they're due today. So if you have somebody that wants to apply for a scholarship, be important to get it in like right away. Vacation Bible School will be held the week of July 21st at St. Thomas Episcopal Church, which is the church just catty corner across the street from here. So there's a list of items needed in the bulletin, both materials and workers that are needed. So if you can possibly help, if you could let Nancy know. Plus, there's a tub just outside the entrance to the fellowship hall where you can put the materials. You can see outside the sidewalk work is progressing. The city is, I guess, maybe over halfway done with our part of it, but with the weather has been an issue for them to get it finished. And they're doing across the street at the same time, so things are pretty much torn up. But our role then, again, because they took out some of our old concrete and grass, and we're going to have new grass in there, and our job will be to keep that grass, to get it planted and keep it watered so it will look nice. So we need to work together to get that done. Are there any other announcements anybody has? If not, then let's prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
Don't I look good with my hat on? I did the thing in the front you're supposed to do, I hear. That's all the rage. You're not supposed to have your hat like this flat brim. You're supposed to be cool and pinch it together, so I'm working on that. I want to be cool. We had a great time. It was a lot of fun, and I hope we do it again. I told folks they could wear their hats, and then if the sermon starts to go bad, you know how, like, in the ninth inning, you put on your rally hat? So you can put your hat on backward if the sermon starts to go really bad, to, you know, come on, rally with that sermon. See if it works. See if God sees the rally hat and goes, oh, and we need a blessing here. It's good to be with you today in the presence of God, in the presence of joy. The only sport I really know is baseball, and I only know that a little bit. So baseball was the perfect thing for me to go to because I could actually talk intelligently. And instead of saying things like, boy, that was a nice drive, I could say that was a nice hit. and stuff like that. How are you? Wow, a little bit of popcorn going on. All right, how about this? If I say God is good, do you know what to say? What? Yes, he is. There's also, there's a thing that you can do in some churches, that God is good, and you go all the time. And then I say, oh, okay, good. A few people know that. And I go all the time, and you say God is good. I'm priming you for a little bit later when I'm going to ask for some participation from the congregation. I can see how well it's going to go. So I welcome you. Amy's like, yeah, that's what I told you. Good luck with that, Pastor. I welcome you in the name of God. And I just saw the video camera. But I'm going to ignore it. Wow. You don't think it's on? Oh, it's not on. Sure. I bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and welcome you in the power of the Holy Spirit. You who are in this church and you who are listening on the radio, we're glad to have you with us to worship with us on this very morning as we gather as souls of the church, strengthened by the worship that we give to the God that we love. I'd like for you to take a moment and just assess how you're doing. The scripture tells us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, with all of our feelings, with all of our spirit, with all of our thinking, and with all of our bodies. Be present in this time and in this place as we begin to worship God today. Please rise as you are able in body or in heart, and let us begin by singing Holy, Holy, number 266.
Thank you.
Let us call ourselves to worship. We give thanks to the Lord with our whole heart. The Lord sits enthroned forever.
The Lord is strong.
O Lord, you have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwell in Zion.
We declare God's deeds among the people.
And let us confess together. Give us courage, O God. We long to live in the truth that you have shown us, but it is hard. We long to hold on to the vision you have given us, but it can be scary. Forgive us for wandering away from your challenges. Help us to be bold and sure. We want to step out in faith, do a new thing in us and in our church. Prepare our hearts to be ready. Beloved of God, we want to have God do a new thing in our church. And I think that God is doing a new thing in our church. Whether we can see it right now, we will see it later. If we don't feel it right now, we might feel it later. But for those times when we doubt God's ability, whether it's God's ability to do a new thing in this church or God's ability to do a new thing in our lives, to do a new thing in the world, for those times when we've spoken out of turn, or we haven't spoken at all to bring about God's realm. For those times that we didn't think to bring about God's realm, or we thought in such a way that we brought down God's realm. For the time that we had action that went against God's realm, or the time that we had inaction that did not bring about God's realm. And we're remorseful about that. Because we keep saying we want God to do a new thing. And yet sometimes our actions and our thoughts and our words are counter to that great desire in our heart. For all of those times and any other times, receive the refreshment of God. Receive the absolute 100% no doubt love of Christ that will bring you to a new place. And know that God is doing a new thing always. And know that you are a part of it. And great is that new thing. There's nothing that you can do, say, or think that will change what God is doing. But we can participate in it more and more and more. So let down everything that is a weight to you as we move forward in that strength. In the middle of the Gloria Patri, the air conditioning came on, and it was like a hallelujah to me. That was blessed. Can the kids come up? Who all do we have here? What kids do we have here? We've got a few today. I bet everybody else, you think everybody else is out playing in the park?
No?
Probably too hot for that. Well, probably too hot for that. Maybe the pool. Maybe the lake. You got a new tattoo. Nicely done. Yeah, I like it a lot. You're like, yeah, this one right here. It's a butterfly. Did you know that the butterfly is a symbol of the resurrection? What? Am I wrong? It's not a butterfly? It's what? You have to speak up. I don't hear very well. It has four sides? Yeah. It's a symbol of the resurrection, because they get transformed and then they fly. So that's really cool. I love butterflies. Absolutely love them because of that. So that book up there, that book right there, what is it? It's the Bible. Do you know how it was written? Probably you've heard stories of how it was written. And sometimes, like, do you guys like to read? Not very much. You like to read books that you like. You don't like to be given assignments to read books. But it, okay, okay. So you guys aren't big readers, but you understand that that a lot of the books that we read are written by an author, right? Somebody who sits down and says, I'm going to write a book. And they write a book. And then they hope people will read it. And usually, I guess, it's people like me, not like you. The Bible's not like that. The Bible is more of an, and this is a big word, anthology. Do you know what an anthology is? Okay. An anthology is a collection of works, often by the same author, but not necessarily by the same author. So it can be a poetry anthology. Those were always my favorites as kids. I would get this big book out of poetry, and it was a bunch of poems that a few people decided should be all in one book, and I agreed with them. They were really good to be in one book. And then there's short story anthologies, and there's all kinds of different collections of books, and the Bible is like an anthology because they didn't write it all at the same time. So different people wrote different things, and one of the things that we're going to talk about today in church are the, it's the part of the book in the back. We call it the New Testament, and it's written mostly comprised of letters. Do you guys know what a letter is? This is not a trick question.
Yeah. There's two meanings of a letter. Letter?
Oh, okay. Do you know what a letter, I mean, not the alphabet, but a letter. Because we don't really write letters very much anymore. We write what?
Email.
We write emails.
Text messages.
What else? We tweet and Facebook post, and we get our opinions. What?
Social media,
right, the broad term of social media. We don't really write letters. Every once in a while, I'll get a letter. And it's like, wow, somebody wrote me on paper. And it's a big deal. I mean, but you know what? It always was a big deal to take time to find the paper, to find a pen that works. Anybody here agree with that? To find a pen that works.
The stamp.
The envelope, you know, to write a physical letter. That's, I don't know, I just think it's special. What? What about money?
Keep it.
Yeah, it is. So here are a bunch of letters that people wrote, and then later, other people decided we should put those all together. No, they didn't text them. Can you imagine, though, if Paul had texting? Hey, church in Ephesus, how you doing? Thinking about you, praying for you, love you, bye. Right? Yeah, you got to have 160 characters for a tweet. Isn't that right? Yeah. I'm getting confirmation from the tech guy. I know. I don't tweet, but I know it's got to be 160 characters. I don't know why I know that, because I'm silly. But so they put all these letters together. But they didn't put them all together. They found lots of letters. But they decided which ones they thought went together the best. And they put them together and bound them in a book for us to read so that we would have a reference point of how the church began. I think that's pretty cool. The other thing that I think is cool is that you never know what you write that somebody might pick up on and go, That's really important. Those words and ideas are important. Now, I'm not saying your personal letters, but let's say you write a letter to a group of people like Paul did. And somebody goes, that's really important. I'm going to add that to my anthology. You might be the one that writes the letter. You might be the one that finds the letter and puts it into the anthology. You might be at any point in the process. So I want you to think about not only reading the Bible and what it has to say, but what might it be like for you to have something to say or to find something that's really cool and to be a part of the process of making a book that's meaningful to somebody else or making a blog. Because books, they're not really being sold as much, but blogs, websites, all that kind of stuff, you could be a part of something really important. Because these guys, they weren't writing the Bible when they wrote their letters. They were writing letters. And it turned into something much bigger than they ever imagined. So all I'm saying is you might do something that turns into something else, much bigger than you ever imagined. Because the Spirit of God moves in amazing ways. Do you believe me? A little bit? Just a little bit? Good. Let's pray. Oh God.
Oh God.
Who are you?
Who are you?
How are we?
How are we?
In relationship.
In relationship.
To you.
To you.
Help us.
Help us.
Find you.
Find you.
And help us.
And help us.
Find our gifts.
Find our gifts.
And find our voice.
And find our voice.
And be.
And be.
Who you called us to be.
Who you called us to be.
Bless.
Our works.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
And we know that you love us.
And we know that you love us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for coming up. Oh, yeah. Now it's time for the noisy offering. And this is for just some silly old water heater that I guess we need that went kaflooey. So I don't know if you've got any music back there, Matt, to play. Yes, yes, yes. Come to the right place.
You are here as we lift you up.
Collect $600, I'm sure, easy. And then the next time in 2 weeks, we'll collect the other. What? I don't know. $1,100. Not a problem. It's right here with change. No? I think maybe $700? $700. Okay. We're right here, aren't we? Yeah, right here. I've got more change up here. He's going to. Oh, here we go. Yeah, yeah. Yours is filled. Come here. Got a little bit more here. 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 All right. All right. Let's pray over this now. God, we ask a blessing over this offering that you would multiply it like crazy so that we can pay for the water heater in this church. And we ask a blessing on this church and on the water that it would be refreshing to all who drink it or wash their hands with it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And let's put that up here. I love our noisy offering buckets. They're so colorful. Although, yeah, we didn't get quite the same percussion that we often do. You want to shake it? Is that what you want to do? I could tell. So today, I'm going to try something a little bit different with this. That way I can be closer to you. Today you see in the bulletin that it says various epistle salutations. This is something I've been wanting to do for some time. And I decided not to include all... Oh, hi, there they go. Well, you better start that thing because I'm starting now, and if we're going to capture this. We're trying to do a YouTube video. We've got the YouTube audio, and we're experimenting with different things because this is the way people check out churches now. So I'm not going to get nervous at all. No, it's all good. It's all good. Easy peasy. So anyway, I've been wanting to do this for a while, to look at the various salutations in the epistles of our New Testament, and there's a lot of them, so I didn't complete them all. But I think that this might be a wonderful Bible study for us, to look at the various beginnings of the letters and their similarity and their differences. So we're going to start with Romans 1. Are you ready? 7, 1 through 12. They're ignoring me, so I think they are. It says, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit, by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing, I remember you always in my prayers, asking that by God's will, I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. For I am longing to see you, so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, or rather, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. That's how Romans begins. And then the first letter to the Corinthians begins this way. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. So Paul and Sosthenes are both writing this letter. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and for the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels among you, my brothers and sisters. So slightly different than the Romans. It starts out strong and powerful, but however. And then we get to 2 Corinthians, and it begins this way. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, so Paul and Timothy together this time, to the church of God that is in Corinth, including all the saints throughout Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Lots of grace and peace in all these salutations. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. If we are being afflicted, it is for your consolation, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we are also suffering. Our hope for you is unshakable, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our consolation. Something changed between the first letter and the second letter. It seems like the disagreement somehow has been, they've been reunited and they are now in agreement, but something's going on in Corinth. In this church. And Paul is saying, we hurt with you. Be consoled in God
be consoled in us. And then we have Galatians. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me. This is a different way for Paul to start this letter. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let them be accursed. Okay, so that's not so nice, is it? First, he sets himself up by saying, look, I am called by God. You got a problem with that? Okay, now that I have established that I am called by God, I am astonished at you. Something's going on in Galatia, and Paul wants to straighten it out. But then there's Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. He didn't say that to Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And then he goes on and on about how wonderful God's blessing is and what our inheritance is Christ. And then finally he says, I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. Ephesus, doing real good. And then there's Philippians. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So they have a different structure here than the other ones. These ones have bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty typical. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about you because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ, you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Philippians has got something important going on, but also some encouragement in there. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. And now we'll skip over to Philemon. Philemon is a letter that's about that big. It's an important letter, though. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. So remember before, he's acknowledged himself as being sent from God. He's acknowledged himself as being a fellow saint. He's had all these. Now he's saying, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker. To Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church in your house, grace to you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, Though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. This is a special letter. You see, Onesimus was Philemon's slave, and he ran away, and he found God, and he became like a son to Paul. But Paul sends him back because he wants Onesimus to be released out of Philemon's own free will. And so he says, I could command you, but I appeal to your heart. Do you ever have any of your parents do that to you? Oh, my goodness. I'm your parent, and I could make you do this, but I really want to come to you and appeal to your sense of what's right and what's wrong. I want you to do this for the right reasons. And then you go, oh, great. It's much easier to do it because someone says you need to do this rather than for the right reasons. But Paul wants Philemon to release Onesimus because it's in his heart to do so. And so he reminds him how much he loves the saints. He reminds him about how much faith he and the church has. He reminds him about how much joy he has in him. And then says, so what you going to do? And the letter goes on for a little while. In all of these letters, we hear praise of God. We hear thankfulness, prayers for grace and peace constantly. We also hear commendations, exhortations, encouragement, chastisement, and a longing to be reunited. These are letters that someone wrote to communities of faith. They're not scholarly articles. They're not theological expositions. They're not sermons. They're letters. Personal letters. Pastoral letters filled with love and concern, faith and hope. It would be as if, let's say, Pastor Ron Lichty wrote the church a letter because they moved far away. And I said, hey, everybody, I got a letter from Pastor Lichty. Let me read it to you. And you'd go, oh, what did he say? And I would read you the whole letter. It's like that. They were written before the Gospels, and they depict a very special time in the church's early development. But even though they're a part of a specific time in the church life, there's a lot in there that we can relate to. There are core values in these letters, along with personal and cultural specifics. But Paul and the other epistle writers, and I don't know how to break this to you, because our ego might be involved, but they weren't thinking about us when they wrote these letters. We were not on their minds. As they penned these words, they weren't thinking, in a couple thousand years, there's going to be people who are really going to get a lot out of this. They weren't doing that. They weren't writing the Bible. They were penning their thoughts and their hearts to people that they cared about deeply in these house churches. Somehow these letters have reached us collected and bound together for our mutual encouragement, chastisement, commendation, exhortation, and with a longing of love and concern. That, to me, is a miracle. We read these letters differently than those to whom they are addressed. They read them as a single unit, just like we would read that letter that came to us or an email. But with these, we dissect them, looking for little pearls of wisdom and nuggets of direction. What could this possibly mean, and how can we apply it today? Not everything in these letters, though, can apply to us, because we're not them. But what if a letter was written to us? About us, to us, regarding situations that we would understand If somebody said, you know, Chloe's people said that you all are having a conflict over here, they knew exactly who Chloe's people were, how far away they were, if Chloe's people were just gossiping, or if they were actually concerned about their well-being. Specific to us, what would that letter be like? How might it begin? Certainly there'd be blessings of grace and peace. Hopefully there'd be a statement something like, oh, I thank my God every day in my prayers for you. I don't know how the man got anything else done. He's thanking God constantly for so many people and things. And he's journeying all over the place and he's writing letters. I don't know how he did it. But hopefully in our letter, it would talk about, oh, I thank my God every day. I wonder what the writer's longing would be for us. What would they say about our faith? What would they say about our ministry? What would they say about our relationships with each other, our relationships with other churches, our relationship with the community out there? Do you find that interesting to think about? I do. This year we're focusing on reflecting. It's our 150th year. I don't know if 150 years ago they were thinking about us. I don't know if they could imagine how long this church would be here. What if they wrote us a letter? What might it say? So we're reflecting on our past, and we're reflecting to look at the future. And I'd like us to reflect on this idea. How would the epistle to the church in Plymouth begin? And how might we respond to it? I'd like us to ponder, reflect, wonder about this. And we do have a little bit of time. And I know this is not how this church often operates. But as we sing the song, if something comes to you, I'm going to take a moment after we sing and see if anybody has any reflection to share. It's not scary, you're not required, but I would love to hear what you have to say. So let us rise as we are able in body or in heart and sing, "Breathe on Me, Breath of God." You may be seated. So has anybody thought of anything? Is there anything that has occurred to you? I'm sure Matt's got a microphone he can pass around, right? Do I need to get I would love to need to get in. Is there any thoughts? I know that you guys are really good at talking during coffee hour and stuff. If you could just play the accompaniment for the radio. Oh dear, I see some looks of panic. Don't look at me. Don't worry, just because I look at you doesn't mean you have to say something. I guess we don't need the microphone. You have something? Okay, let me get the microphone. You can play while I'm getting the microphone. Keep going.
This goes back to the 1940s, and I used to come and visit this church with my high school friend, Nina, who happened to be a sister of Mary Klein's. And my reflection is, did you ever think you would end up back here as a member? That goes to the 40s.
So that would be the mystery of God that brings you back into this place
after
all these years. And bless God for that.
Right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful reflection. I love that. Oh, yes, all the guests here are welcome, absolutely. It's good to see you here. Whenever I come to a new church, I don't like to be singled out because I get embarrassed. So I don't often do that, but I welcome you. Will you do me a favor and think about what this letter might be? What might be written to our church and how we might respond to it? And while we may not be talking about it as much in this greater congregation meeting, talk to each other about it. When you go visit folks at the nursing home, ask them what they think. When you talk to people who may not come to this church, ask them what they think. Because I think that the blessing of a letter can be very, very powerful and can tell us a lot about ourselves. So thank you for entertaining with me and being patient as I provoke you, because that's a part of what I do, is provoke you to go outside of your comfort zone. And I thank you for sharing. We are in the midst of a celebration, 150 years, and how we got here, and how we're going to go the next 150 years. Is important for us to think about. Mainline churches are having some struggles. And I don't think that has to be. Because we have communities of love that people can hook into. And when we reflect on where we've been and where we're going and who we are right now, we can figure out what our gifts are, what we have to share, so that people will come to this place and see if they fit. Doing church as usual, just because it's comfortable, isn't going to work. Being authentic with who we are in our gifts and who the world is right now, that will reach people. Not for the sake of growing numbers, but for the sake of being who God has called us to be. That's all we have to worry about. Being who God has called us to be. Please join your hearts with mine as I pray. Beloved of God, we come before our God praising, and now we come to pray. And we ask you, O God, to see us, all of us, in our states, however we are, however we come to you, you are with us. There are people who are hurting right here in the sanctuary. There are people who are hurting in our lives, and there are people who are hurting that come to our doors. We ask that you would be the presence in all of those moments, and that your transformation power would go forth. Heal the sick, O God. Mend the broken bones and the broken hearts and the broken spirits and the broken lives as best as we are open to that transformation power. This is your community, and we give it back to you as we open up our hearts together using the words that Jesus gave his disciples as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you prepare your hearts and your wallets for the offering, don't forget to sign in the friendship registration pads. We like to know that you're here. And please say a prayer over those plates as they pass by. Please rise as you are able. Lord God, we look upon these gifts with our eyes, but you look at them with yours. And you can see everything that's in here. And we ask that whether it's time, talent, or treasure that's being offered, that you would multiply it like you did the loaves and the fishes so that none would be hungry or thirsty or lacking. And that your love would go out according to your gifts that you have given us and according to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn to 284 and let us sing together. They'll know we are Christians. Beloved of God, as we go forth from this place, I want to tell you about a challenge that I have had in my mind and heart and spirit. There's a theologian called Peter Rollins that I have become acquainted with his works. And he says things that are really amazing to me and challenge me a lot. He talks about doubting God and how important it is to be in a place where we can doubt God, and that there's an authenticity there. But he also talks about brokenness. That if all we do is imagine God being the one who heals our brokenness, then in a sense, God has become an idol and just is the one who does whatever it is that we want God to do. But rather, God is the one that in your brokenness is present. You can be utterly shattered. Now, this isn't necessarily the benediction, the good word that people expect to go out in. But you can be utterly shattered, demolished, broken beyond belief. And the wonderful good news is that God is with you in it. God never, ever leaves you alone. You may not feel the healing of God the way we would like. It's not some kind of medication. God is not a medication that we put on to make us well. But God's presence, unflinching presence, is the mystery and the miracle. And even more miraculous and mysterious as that would be unflinching presence in the face of our own brokenness, the brokenness of people we love, and the brokenness of people we don't know. If someone were to write a letter to our church, I pray it would include, "I see that you are not afraid of brokenness, and that you open your arms wide to those who are broken, and then you wrap your arms around them, and you don't let them go." Go forth unafraid. Go forth knowing that God's presence is with you always, not just to make us happy and whole, but to be present in whatever state that you are in, and so that we can be present for whatever state anybody else is in or the world is in, and so that we can be the bearers of peace.